Welcome to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. Our top story, President Biden calling to triple tariffs on Chinese steel and aluminum. This as he doubles down on wooing voters in Pennsylvania, a key battleground state.
Then I'm calling on her to consider tripling the tariff rates for both steel and aluminum imports from China.
A step forward in Florida's battle with communism. Governor Ron DeSantis signing a law to educate students on the dangers of communism. A phone call between Washington and Beijing resumed after a 17-month hold. U.S. Secretary of Defense Lloyd Austin speaking with his Chinese counterpart over the phone. What's on the agenda? And Morgan Stanley is planning its biggest layoffs in years in Hong Kong and mainland China. The move drawing attention to China's investment environment. The 2024 election showdown heating up. President Biden calling for new tariffs on China as he addresses steel workers in Pennsylvania, a key swing state. This as former President Trump is facing a criminal trial in New York. Let's dig in.
Speaking at the heart of the U.S. steel industry, President Biden making a pledge to members of the United Steelworkers, America's largest industrial union.
Right now, my U.S. trade representative is investigating trade practices by the Chinese government regarding steel and aluminum. If that investigation confirms these anti-competitive trade practices, then I'm calling on her to consider tripling the tariff rates for both steel and aluminum imports from China.
This comes as Biden tries to win voters in Pennsylvania on the campaign trail. The battleground state would prove crucial in the 2024 White House race. Biden beat Trump by just 1% there 4 years ago. Meanwhile, Trump is in New York for his hush money trial. The former president said he would impose a 10% tariff on all foreign products, plus a 60% tariff on Chinese imports. China makes over half of the world's steel and aluminum, and it's hard to compete with Chinese products. They're sold far cheaper than foreign rival products because of state subsidies. The administration said tariffs wouldn't affect inflation much, since the U.S. only imports 0.6% of its steel from China. Riley Waters is a senior fellow at the Hudson Institute. He said Biden's announcement is political in nature.
He could call for a tripling, he could call for a quadrupling. You know, we can increase it by 10 times. It's not really going to matter that much at the end of the day because we use so little.
Biden also ordered his aides to work with Mexico so that China wouldn't be able to evade U.S. tariffs by selling into the U.S. through the southern border. Top U.S. trade advisor Catherine Tai is set to launch an investigation into the unfair practices of China's shipbuilding industry, following petitions from the United Steelworkers Union.
Next, a closer look at national security concerns over a Japanese steelmaker's ties to China. The company is offering up $15 billion to acquire U.S. Steel Corporation. We sat down with Michael Stumo, the chief executive officer of the Coalition for a Prosperous America, to dive deeper. Michael Stumo, thank you so much for joining us. Great to have you on the show.
It's my pleasure.
Now, U.S. Steel shareholders have approved a $14.1 billion sale to Japan-based Nippon Steel, which is facing pushback from both regulators and lawmakers, including President Biden, who's opposing it, saying that it is vital that it remains domestically owned and operated. What is your reaction to this announcement?
Well, we agree with both President Biden and former President Trump that Nippon Steel should not buy U.S. Steel. They did bid an incredible amount for it, and of course the shareholder decision was entirely short-term financial driven. But Japan, the government of Japan, wouldn't allow U.S. company to buy Nippon. It's their national champion steel company. And Nippon is a problem with regard to helping build China's steel industry. They still have steel. They still have joint ventures in China, including with some problematic military, shipbuilding, and potential human rights companies. Japan may be a foreign policy ally, but they are an industrial rival. and have the problematic ties with China. But there's a difference between a foreign policy ally, we like Japan for that, but industrial rival, they've been a problem.
Now, we did just see recently Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen go to China for a visit that was following a slew of U.S. CEOs going there. At the time, Chinese regime Xi Jinping told them that China's growth prospects remain bright. Now, we did just see that China's economy grew faster than expected in March. How do you read all of this?
Well, first, Secretary Yellen, it was an unfortunate visit. It's just thousands of hours of wasted high-level official time in the U.S. that could be spent on something else and will go nowhere. China's growth of exceeding expectations, look, that's a government figure. It can't be trusted. There is, you know, they set their targets. It's not like GDP is an output, GDP is an input. They have to work really hard to make that target and make the math work, and you can't trust that among other numbers. Look, China is very much at risk economically because their real estate sector has crashed with bad debt and excessive building. Their infrastructure building sector has crashed from bad debt and overbuilding. Their internal consumption, household consumption as a share of GDP is very low, which means they don't consume much of what they produce. The only thing that's left is massive reliance on exports, massive reliance on shipping their overproduction to the rest of the world, whether it's the US or the EU or the Belt Road countries. And so they've doubled their trade surplus recently, which looks like a strength, but it means that's all they've got for growth now is to increasingly just dump all their overproduction that they're not consuming on the rest of the world and displace everybody else's workers. So A, I don't trust that number. At some point, China's even gonna have problems with their exporting, you know, BYD cars on massive container ships around the world because they're gonna be taking out even more of other countries' economies. We are in China shock 2.0 right now in the US. And Yellen is gonna have to recognize that.
Michael Stumo, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me.
A strike at communist influence spreading in the U.S. by educating the next generation. Florida Governor Ron DeSantis signing a bill into law Wednesday. It would require public schools in Florida to educate students on the history and dangers of communism, both in the U.S. and foreign countries, plus the rising threat of communism in the U.S.
We're going to tell the truth about the unprecedented death toll of the 20th century at the hands of communist tyranny. 100 million killed at the hands of communist regimes spreading from China to the Soviet Union to Cuba.
The mandate is set to take effect in the 2026 academic year. How can the U.S. defend itself from the Chinese Communist Party's political warfare? The House Oversight Committee is trying to find out. At a hearing on Wednesday, it's shining a light on the CCP's infiltration tactics and looking for solutions U.S. agencies can use to counter it. NTD's Jack Bradley has the details.
The House Oversight Committee has launched an investigation into the Chinese regime's harmful influence here in the U.S. The goal is to expose and stop what they call the Chinese regime's political warfare campaign.
Members of Congress and a panel of experts dove into areas like education, where the Chinese Communist Party has set up so-called Confucius schools and institutes, from preschool to college, to spread the party's propaganda and praise communism. Other topics included the Chinese regime's attempts to sabotage American agriculture, technology, and business, even going so far as to threaten the Chinese diaspora.
There's transnational repression occurring. We had a hearing with regard to that issue where they're going after dissidents, they're going after critics of the regime. They're going after Tibetans and Uyghurs and other minorities, Hong Kongers who live in the U.S.
For years, China, or CCP China, you know, has pretended to be our friend, all the while undermining every institution we have.
Shenyun Performing Arts has long been the target of the Chinese regime because it displays what China was like before communism. and many of the performers practice Falun Gong, a spiritual discipline based on truthfulness, compassion, and tolerance, which is persecuted by the Chinese regime.
Theaters received emails threatening mass shootings and bombings if they refused to cancel Xianyang performances. Xianyang has reported multiple instances where the tires of their tour buses have been slashed.
They are frankly criminal acts by a foreign government against our people on our soil. This is something that has to be prioritized with a response in the bilateral relationship with the PRC, rather than a shoulder shrug or something that we can quietly say that we talked about later.
Uses our own media. One good example is its attack on the Falun Gong. It's basically convinced the entire academic university system in the United States that they are a brainwashed cult. They've done the same thing to our media institutions. And so, you know, that is the way they do it, is by controlling our own narratives within
the United States. You're saying that they're not a brainwashed cult.
I think they're just a group of people that are dissidents of the Chinese Communist regime.
Yeah, I agree with you too. They put on a pretty cool dance routine. It's pretty cool.
The committee says it will continue to expose and combat the threats that the Chinese regime poses to U.S. national security. Reporting from Washington, D.C., Jack Bradley, NTD News.
Chinese aggression raising military tensions in the Indo-Pacific. The U.S. and Chinese defense ministers just spoke over the phone for the first time in more than a year and a half. The Pentagon's press secretary provided more details last Sunday.
He also underscored the importance of respect for high seas freedom of navigation guaranteed under international law, especially in the South China Sea, and reiterated that the United States will continue to fly, sail, and operate safely and responsibly wherever international law allows.
Hours after the talk, the U.S. Navy sent a military aircraft flying through the Taiwan Strait, adding the plane transited in international airspace. But the move provoked Beijing. The Chinese Navy scrambled a group of fighter jets to monitor the U.S. plane's passage. China sees foreign military planes and ships transiting in international waters or airspace close to China or Taiwan as a challenge to Beijing's sovereignty. The Chinese Communist Party sees Taiwan as its own, though it has never ruled it. Despite Beijing's aggressive actions, President Biden 5 days ago pledged to stand with Japan and the Philippines in their territorial disputes with China. The U.S. defense chief stressed that the Pentagon wants to keep communications with Beijing's military. That's after China cut military-to-military talks in previous years due to high tensions. Beijing refused to talk to the Pentagon as a protest in 2022 after then-House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's trip to Taiwan. China also turned down another communication request from the Pentagon after the U.S. shot down an alleged Chinese spy balloon last February after it flew across America. An election closely watched by the U.S., China, and Australia. It's happening in a Pacific nation called the Solomon Islands. Washington and Beijing have been competing for influence there because it sits on a strategic location, 1,000 miles off the coast of Australia. In 2022, a security pact between China and the Solomon Islands raised red flags in the West, sparking concerns about a potential Chinese military base off of Australia's coast. A Solomon Islands voter also expressed concerns.
The fact that we didn't know really actually what the security pact contents is still a big question mark to me, yeah.
Under the current prime minister, the Solomon Islands cut ties with Taiwan and recognized Beijing instead. That's on top of the security deal with China. China has poured tens of millions of dollars into a development fund used by the Solomon Islands politicians. Critics accuse Beijing of using it as a slush fund to curry favor with politicians. If reelected, the Solomon Islands' current prime minister has pledged to bolster ties with China. Would the rush of stock market trading be the same without red and green prices lighting up exchange boards in real time? China is said to stop releasing real-time trading volume data in its three top exchanges starting mid-May. Authorities said the new policy seeks to tackle market volatility. The data includes the buying, selling, and total turnover of A shares. The term A shares refers to the stock of China-based businesses and trade transactions done in Chinese currency, the yuan. Meaning China's three major exchanges, Hong Kong, Shanghai, and Shenzhen, will stop disclosing the data during trading hours and will only make it available after markets close. Hong Kong-based trade research director Stephen Tam says the new rule lowers the transparency and visibility of the market. Real-time data is critical for investors, especially for hedge funds. It reflects the real-time investor sentiment and helps investors make quick decisions. Last year, Chinese authorities also stopped publishing the country's youth unemployment rate after it topped 21%. China resumed sharing that data earlier this year, announcing the figure had dropped to 5%. Experts have called the staggering change hard to believe. Next, Morgan Stanley is planning mass layoffs in Asia Pacific. Bloomberg reported on Tuesday that at least 80% of the cut is planned for Hong Kong and China, meaning over 40 bankers there will lose their jobs. According to Morgan Stanley, its net revenue from Asia declined by 12% in the first quarter, equivalent to over $1.7 billion. But the group has been planning to downsize its Chinese operations since last year due to the revenue drop. Many international financial groups are shrinking their China businesses. That's after seeing the country's economy and investment environment take a plunge. Beijing's efforts to clamp down on private businesses, plus the real estate crisis and the tensions between the U.S. and China, have all contributed. Back to Morgan Stanley, the decision marks the biggest change in years for its China business. The move will not affect the company's Japanese bankers. Coming up, big economic plans brewing in the European Union looking to tackle a pressing issue: how to boost the bloc's competitiveness against the U.S. and China. A record number of Chinese nationals illegally crossing the U.S. southern border in the last 6 months. This while America's westernmost territory of Guam sees its own surge of illegal Chinese immigrants. Controversy surrounding a championship race in Beijing. A Chinese runner claims victory, but whispers of foul play linger. More on what's behind the speculation after the break here on China in Focus. Welcome back to China in Focus. I'm Tiffany Meyer. European Union leaders are convening Wednesday to discuss one big problem: how to make the bloc more competitive against the U.S. and China. For decades, its economic growth has fallen behind the two superpowers.
Traditional EU industries like car manufacturing are facing technological and commercial challenges, including from the U.S. and China, which are pumping a lot of public subsidies into their industries.
He added the EU's major competitors, the U.S., China, and India, are much larger markets and are becoming more protectionist. Mayers thinks Europe needs to boost its productivity growth to become more competitive, and that member states should make compromises and look at harmonizing rules within Europe. Authorities encountered a record 24,000 Chinese nationals at the U.S. southern border in the last 6 months. That's according to new data from U.S. Customs and Border Protection. A similar surge is trying to illegally enter Guam, and it's raising concern in Congress. To discuss the security implications, NTD's Steve Land spoke with Congressman James Moylan of Guam.
Representative James Moylan, thank you so much for joining.
You're very welcome.
Representative, you obviously represent Guam. We're seeing a significant increase in illegal entries since 2022. What do you think is actually driving this surge?
Well, there could be a few things. It could be a natural thing where they're looking for opportunities. However, that's not my belief. Right? We have a situation where Guam now is a center for the United States regarding Indo-PACOM region. We need to protect Indo-PACOM region, and that will be with the military buildup that we have going on Guam. We know the Communist Chinese Party has named a missile after Guam, the Guam Killer, they call it. We had the large buildup with the Marines coming on over from Okinawa. We have an existing Anderson Air Force Base where we had the bombers that are ready to go to defend the Indo-PACOM area. The Navy has a large military base there as well, with the submarines too. We have a population of civilians of 170,000 plus, and about 26,000 of existing service members and contractors there. So there's the Communist Chinese Party has made it known that Guam is a target. If we're having illegal Chinese migrants come into Guam, that's a great concern for mine, and this needs to be stopped.
Now, there are some reports that ICE has actually removed some of these Chinese illegal immigrants due to being on watch lists, but they're leaving others reportedly due to Biden's previous deportation policy. How concerned are you over this potential selective deportation?
Extremely concerned. And we have spoken to, and we did get a reply from ICE. They mentioned, just like you did, they have deported some and some are still there. Those are the ones they find. We don't know who they don't find. They're landing on our shores through small boats, coming on in, and some are tracked and some are missing. I don't know, but that is a great concern. What ICE also told us is it's a nationwide problem. It's a territorial problem.
Representative James Moylan, thank you so much.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
A sports championship shrouded by controversy. Chinese runner He Jie took the first place trophy in a half marathon race in Beijing, but an investigation is underway as many speculate that the competition was rigged. In the final few hundred yards, footage shows three African runners leading the race, but one of them appeared to be extending his arm out as if he's telling the other two to slow down. He Jie eventually crossed the finish line just a second ahead of the rest of them. Many comments on social media were scathing, calling the race embarrassing or a performance. One internet user said, quote, "The so-called ways of the world should not taint the fairness of competition in sports. Fairness is always at the core of sporting spirit." 25-year-old He Jie is China's current record holder for the full marathon. He is considered one of the nation's most promising athletes. According to Beijing state-run news outlet Global Times, he said he sees the race as preparation before the Paris 2024 Summer Olympics. Long-distance running has become more popular in China, but it's not without controversy, since cheating concerns remain an issue. Coming up on NTD, stay tuned for America's Hope with Kelly Wright. Tonight, Kelly continues with his focus on Israel. Several world leaders and allies of Israel are advising the country to exercise restraint after Iran's drone strike. Israel says it will make its own decision on how to respond. Kelly Wright recently traveled to Israel to meet with survivors of the October 7th attack on Israel, as well as family members of hostages. Tonight, he welcomes Mike Evans from the Friends of Zion Heritage Center and noted author, politician, and human rights activist Natan Sharansky. That's tonight at 10 p.m. after China in Focus. Thanks for watching. See you tomorrow.